Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's an awesome God, and we give God the glory for the day that we have in front of us today. We thank you that today we are going to get into the Word of God. We're going to continue our series called The Flow. And I'll tell you what, if you're not getting this, you just got to slow down and meditate on the Word. You're going to have to slow down and meditate on the Word of God, because I'll tell you what, God is doing something so tremendous, not in our church. I was walking yesterday. I went for a walk in the morning, and I was walking around, and there's this piece of land that is not far from my house, and I had been going and praying over the land. I said, Lord, I'm claiming this land for abundant life. And I was walking around this land. I was claiming the land, and I was praying, and the Holy Spirit offered me some correction. He said, don't claim this land for abundant life. Claim this land for the kingdom of God. He said, you have to lift your eyes. Your eyes are too low. Your eyes are worried about your little church. Your eyes need to be lifted to the kingdom. Because if you lift your eyes to the kingdom, then what will happen is he can pour out to you what you need to build his kingdom. Amen. See, our kingdom is, our church is only a part of the kingdom. And we're not here to represent our church. We're here to represent the kingdom of God. We have been joined together with those like us who believe the Word of God, who believe on him as the Scripture has said, and all of them this river of life is pouring out of into the world. But the Lord told me, he said, if your eyes are too low, then you only expect to see that which you can contain. See, we have to have our eyes on not what we can contain. We have to have our eyes on what God wants to pour out. Because you can't save the world with what you can contain. You cannot pierce the darkness with what you can contain. But with God's kingdom, we can flood the world with light. With God's kingdom, we can flood the world with more than enough to do everything that needs to be done. But when our eyes are on ourselves, there's only a little that we can bring forward. The disciples were following Jesus and excited to be with him. They saw miracle after miracle after miracle. They heard things they had never heard before, revelation knowledge. I mean, you walk around with Jesus for 3 years. You will hear some stuff. You'll hear some stuff you never heard before. And Jesus, with his 12 disciples and all the other ones that were following from a little bit more of a distance, they're hearing these things from Jesus. They're hearing this word of the kingdom that they never heard before. But their minds were on a Messiah for the Jewish people. And they could not understand Jesus because they kept trying to make him their Messiah for their people. And they couldn't grasp how big Jesus was because their container was their people, their nation. And so they couldn't comprehend all that God was ministering to them through Jesus. And so here I am, walking around, claiming something for our church, and the Holy Spirit says, lift your eyes. Because you won't even understand what you are until you lift your eyes and see my kingdom. You won't even understand what your church is really about until you can lift your eyes and see what God is doing in a bigger scale. The Holy Spirit's desire in pouring a flow out of us is not to flow into our household and save ours. He wants to cause a flow of the Spirit to pour out of us that begins to operate so vastly, so big, that He's touching everything with the flow. So as we're meditating on the Spirit, we're meditating on what Jesus is doing, we have to keep lifting our eyes. We have to keep looking bigger. We have to keep looking broader. Let's go to our foundation scripture and let's read it and think about what he's pointing out to us here. John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Because Jesus hadn't been glorified, the Holy Spirit could only rest upon people. He could not live inside of people. So the Holy Spirit came upon Samson. And Samson began working miracles. People would attack Samson, and Samson would fight back whole armies by himself. One man. He was so mysterious to everybody that they asked, what is the secret to this man's strength? How is this one man able to run out and beat all these people up? One passage says that Samson went into the Philistine camp and circumcised all the Philistines. I want y'all to think about that. If you are so bad, you can walk into a group of men and circumcise them against their will, you are a bad mamma jamma. That's all I can say. You are a bad brother when you can do that. Think about it. But the Spirit can only rest on him. But Jesus says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, not off of the top of him, but out of his heart, out of the innermost part of him will flow rivers of living water. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. See, when I was an unbeliever, I used to walk around and I found out, personal discovery, I found out that evil lived inside of me. I didn't even have to try. I could do wrong without even thinking about it. Why? Because it was in there. I was born with a sin nature. And so without even trying, I could do something wrong. No effort required. It was in there. But that same discovery is what I now discover about the Holy Spirit, is that when I became a believer, the Lord is in me. And sometimes when I'm not even paying attention, I do righteous things just because it's in me. Now, my mind is not fully renewed, so there's still some foolishness that comes out of me. But sometimes when I'm just in neutral, God operates through me. So I would be just talking to people, and all of a sudden, out of my heart would come a word of wisdom. Out of my heart would come a word of knowledge. Out of my mouth, out of my heart would come a prophetic word. How did it come out? I'm not thinking about it, because it's in me. I receive the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is in me, and without trying, he would manifest through me. How does that work? How does that happen? He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall pour rivers of living water. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, you have in you the spirit that God has made alive, and you have your mind or your soul that is your reasoning faculty that controls your brains and what you think about. And so sometimes that tries to take over, and out of your mouth comes rivers of foolishness. Rivers of negativity. Rivers of this or rivers of that come out. Why? Because it's still in my mind, and my mind's got to get renewed, because whenever my mind gets renewed and is in line with my spirit, all of a sudden I become something you, wow. Because my being is aligned. Every person is born, spirit, soul, and body. That's what we are. Your mind has been given to you in order to consider the world and operate in the world. And if you don't have control of your mind, we say something's wrong with you, right? When you say, man, my body's just doing stuff, my mind's not telling it what to do, there's something wrong. But the kingdom, when we give our lives to Jesus, it reactivates the spirit in us. And the spirit of God joins with our spirit, and we now have the what's called the mind of Christ. In other words, my spirit now has new information and new ways of processing information and the world around me, and now by faith I can operate in new ways. Ways that I wasn't always taught. Ways that I wasn't always introduced to. But the Spirit of God on the inside of me, out of me begins to pour the rivers of living water, which is the Holy Spirit coming out of me doing things that I don't always have the understanding of doing. So Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 7. He said, I have a war on the inside of me. He said, me that knows what to do by the Spirit, I don't find always the resource to do it. But wrong I find within me. But thanks be unto God who always causes me to what? Triumph in Christ Jesus. Because in Christ, out of me flows rivers of living water. So the truth that we have is that as we begin to grow in Christ, we begin to operate in a new way. Amen? All right. So let's look at some things we've covered in our series so far before we get deep into what we're covering. So let's go to our next passage. And that is, as we were talking about the flow, we went to the book of Ezekiel. And we know that Ezekiel had a prophetic vision of the temple of God. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. And so we hear from that, and we look back at this prophetic word, and what we see in this prophetic word is God shows Ezekiel that there's a temple which is representative of us. And in this temple, from the thresholds, flow rivers. And so we looked at that, and we looked at, he saw these rivers, and these rivers had three aspects that had to do with what they are. The first aspect was wherever the river went, there was life. Wherever the river went, there was life. Which started ministering to us and understand that wherever I go with the Spirit of God in me, I go and I bring life. I bring life to every situation. You, if you know God, when you walk into an environment, whether you understand it or not, you bring life to the environment. Whether you know it or not, whether you feel like it or not, when you step into the room, life comes into the room. And two things happen when life comes into a dead room. The first is that those that don't want to see light shield their eyes. They don't feel comfortable. The second is that those that want light get attracted to the light. So sometimes we think it's strange that when we go people, go places, people seem to love us or hate us. Why is it that people either love me or people hate me? It's because I'm light. People seeking the light, they love me. People hating the light, they hate me. Because to them, I am the light. And you have to know you're the light. And don't think it's strange when that starts to happen. Don't think it's strange when people say, oh, something about you I don't like. I know what it is. That's okay. I know what it is. It happens sometimes. Why? I understand. And so I don't have to be offended by the process. So he tells us here that he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east before the front of the temple faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. So this water was flowing and it brings life. So the first thing we said is that wherever the river goes, it brings life. The second thing is that wherever the river goes, there are fish. And we talked about Jesus told his disciples, if you follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. In other words, wherever the river flows, again, there are people who are attracted to you and people who will run from you. But the ones that are attracted, Jesus says, I'm going to teach you how to fish them. I'm going to teach you how to reach them. I'm going to teach you how to become fishers of men so that you can fulfill the calling on your life by drawing men to Christ. The third thing that happens is that living water or the river, wherever it goes, there are fruitful trees growing at the banks of the river. So these were all things that we read. And we'll talk about fruitfulness next week. Last week we talked about once we have begun to enter into the flow, we have to be aware that there are dam makers. That there are things that creep in and try to stop your flow by introducing things that grieve the Holy Spirit. So let's go to our next passage, which is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So we do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And we went through that passage, we looked through a series of things that grieve the Holy Spirit. And one of those things was not speaking the truth. And not speaking the truth does not just mean when we straight up just lie. It means when we tell half truth. Abraham and his wife were traveling into Egypt. And when they got there, he told his wife, he said, look, Sarah. Now remember, Sarah's 60-something years old at the time. He says, Sarah, look, you're a beautiful woman, and I need you to tell, when the Egyptians show up, I need you to tell them that I'm your brother. Because if they think that you're my husband, they will try to kill me so they can take you. Which didn't make sense because if she's not married, they're going to take her anyway. But again, that's what lying does. It gets you in, you tell lies and it don't make sense to everybody who's looking at it. So, he tells her this. Now, it was halfway true. Because they really were brother and sister. But they were husband and wife. Don't try to think about that one. This is Old Testament. Don't try to. It's not going to work in the New Testament. It's Old Testament now, right? They were brother and sister, but they were also husband and wife. So he chose to tell half the truth. To protect himself. But it's that kind of thing is a grieve of the Holy Spirit. Because what we're saying is, my story will protect me more than God will. My story will protect me. Your story won't protect you. Your story only postpones in the inevitable. We have to trust the Lord. Amen. The other things that grieved. Other things, again, just general things we know, but the most significant thing we looked at was in, let's go to the next passage, which is in the book of John. And when the Holy Spirit came, Jesus in John chapter 20, verse 21 through 23, Jesus said to them, peace be to you, as the Father sent me, I also send you. So Jesus says, I'm sending you out. The same way the Father sent me, you're going to be given everything you need to do what I did. And when he had said this, he equipped them. He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Now, significance of this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. What happened when Jesus got baptized? Jesus at the River Jordan, he goes down, and what happens? He comes out of the water in the hands of John the Baptist, and then the word says that a dove, the Spirit came down like a dove, rather. He received the Holy Spirit. So now with that anointing, he then went and did things. So he comes to his disciples and says, receive the Holy Spirit. But then he messes us all up. Receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, praise God. I got the Holy Ghost. Oh, man. Oh, I spoke with tongues. Oh, praise God. I was working miracles. Oh, praise God. I saw the Holy Spirit doing all this stuff. But wait a minute. He said, has some responsibility. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. But if you retain the sins of any, they're retained. Wait a minute. Jesus, why are you putting this kind of responsibility on me? Aren't you the forgiver? Can't you just forgive them, Lord? And I just, you know, I hold my grudge. I keep my anger. You know, I remember my wrong that's my suffered. Can't I just keep that in the back of my head or in my back pocket or keep it in my phone or keep it wherever I keep it? Can't I just hold on to it, Lord, and just go work miracles in your name? If you forgive the sins of any, I'll forgive the sins. What a tremendous responsibility. He said, but think about it. If you're going to carry God himself on the inside of you, how can we walk in unforgiveness? See, the Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not an entity. The Holy Spirit is not just something that's floating around. The Holy Spirit is God. He is God himself. And if we expect God to come and live inside of us, and God is love, how in the world are we going to say, thanks for being here, God, but the one thing you are is the one thing I won't be? Even sinners say, God is love. Everybody will say God is love. But if we understand that he's trying to blow his spirit on the inside of us, the very first thing he says is, you got to clean out the unforgiveness. The very first thing you got to do, clean out the unforgiveness. Get it out of here. Why? Because if you are representing me and you're holding anger, how is a person going to receive me if you're the vessel I'm using? He told the disciples that because they were mad. They lost their Savior by the hands of all the Jewish people. The Jewish people who celebrated Jesus then came back and said, crucify him! And after Jesus was crucified, the same people, now the disciples are sent to tell them of the goodness of the Lord. I'm not telling them nothing. They crucified Jesus. They don't deserve Jesus. If they had known who Jesus was, they shouldn't have done it in the first place. So how is that unforgiving heart going to enter Jerusalem and preach the good news to every creature when the place where they are, they can't preach to them? See, God is cleaning us. God's preparing us for great things. And we have to get to the first level here is that forgiveness is that first thing. It is the most significant blocker of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. And so when he says, receive ye the Holy Spirit, the requirement to receive the Holy Spirit is to then also be forgiving. See, when two people go their separate ways, it doesn't mean that God is not in the middle of it. What it means is how we manage it or handle it starts to determine what God can do with it, because no two people can stay together when they have separate missions. We have to go about the mission that we have. And the key is that once we've received the Holy Spirit, do we then honor? Do we honor? So forgiveness is that responsibility that the body of Christ receives as a requirement of having the Holy Spirit on us. See, Paul and Barnabas were together. And one day they had to separate. Now, was it God? Well, God did mighty things. At the Tower of Babel, everybody's together. We're all together. But then all of a sudden, God comes down and says, nah, I need y'all to split up. But God's not the author of division. He didn't divide them. He sent them. There's a difference between dividing and sending. And so when he did that, the only people that went together were the people who understood each other. He didn't confuse them. He confused their language. So they weren't speaking the same anymore. But those that spoke the same language found each other, and they went on and they built nations. But all those nations are still under, again, lift our eyes. If your eyes are only on, well, God separated us. Man, how can I can't forgive you. I can't forgive you. If we're still in that position, we're not looking high enough. We have to lift our eyes and know that God has called us, and God has ordained us, and God has called us to go to the nations. All right, don't let anything block the flow. That's what I was talking about. So let's go to John chapter 16. John, praise the Lord. John chapter 16. When you get there, tell your neighbor, I love you no matter what you do. Amen. Amen. Now you turn to the other neighbor and say, I witnessed that you said that. You got witnesses here. Amen. All right, what'd I tell you to go? What'd I tell you to go? Okay, thank you. John 16, verse 7. Let's start there. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So Jesus said, I can't bless you unless I leave you. I gotta go. I got to go. Unless I leave, I can't bless you. But when I leave, I'm sending you the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes when Jesus leaves. Now, he comes and he says, I'm going to do three things. I'm going to convict the world of sin. Very important. Our job is not to convict the world of sin. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict the world of sin. Now, he might use us to do that, but we don't have to have it in our mind. My job is to convict the world of sin. The second thing, he's going to convict them of righteousness. Okay? Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Third thing, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Jesus wasn't judging the world, he was judging the devil, the ruler of the world. So once again, as a believer, my job is not to convict the world of anything. My job is to live and let this Holy Spirit flow, and he will do the work. Amen? Let's go to the next verses here. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine, and he will declare it to you. See, Jesus said, as the Father sends me, I'm sending you. But then he says, now you got to go and wait on the promise of the Father. So we see that Jesus now has given us this Holy Spirit, and he's telling us that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's going to begin working in your life. He's going to be doing mighty things. He's going to begin bringing forth things. He's going to be the Spirit of truth to guide you into all truth, to give you understanding, to bless you. And so my whole level of understanding, anything I can really comprehend as far as God, it has to come by the Holy Spirit. So that means if the enemy is keeping me in unforgiveness, my understanding is going to be tainted because I don't have the fullness of the Holy Spirit to bring me understanding. Why it's so critical to be free from anger, free from those things, okay? He will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will speak from the words of the Father. So when the Spirit is really operating in us, he's ministering to us what the Father has said. Amen? A couple of things I want to kind of get us onto here. Because the Holy Spirit has come, let's go to the next verse. Let's get the last one here. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare to you. The Holy Spirit will give us what belongs to Jesus, and he will give it to us. Now, here's the main point of today. As the Holy Spirit is delivering from the Father to us through Jesus by the Holy Spirit, we have to become conscious of the fact that we are the containers of God himself. We know it, but we have to know it. It has to become the truth that we live by, that we are the containers of God, that we are those who have had God come and dwell on the inside of us. Now that means a couple of things. The first thing that it means is that if God lives inside of me by his Holy Spirit, and that his anointing doesn't rest on me like it did on Samson, but his anointing lives in me, that means my abilities are off the charts. See, in my own strength, my abilities are finite. I only have what my DNA says I can have. I can only do what my DNA says that I'm able to do. But if I'm the container of God, it means that if I recognize how to release the flow, that it takes me to another level of what is possible. See, in my personal DNA are certain abilities. They're abilities that my ancestors had. And ultimately, when you take it all the way back, you take it to the DNA of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were given certain things from God, and there is no human being capable of becoming anything outside of what God put into Adam and Eve. So human beings are not able to grow 3-foot tails, because it's not in the DNA of humanity. You can't grow one. It's not possible. Sorry, that was my alarm to shut it down. All right. You can't do it. Your ears will not get this high, because it's not in our human DNA to grow ears like that. You can't fly on your own, because it's not in your human DNA to do that. However, whatever is filled with God's Spirit can do whatever God can do. Whatever God fills with himself, he can do whatever he chooses to. So in other words, if I can get myself full of the Holy Spirit, full of God, then whatever God overflows out of me is according to his possibility, not according to mine. With God, all things are possible. So with God, if God, all things are possible with him, if that is true, then I just need to become filled with him so that wherever I go, he pours out. Let's go back to John chapter 7 real quick. Let's go back to John chapter 7. All right, I'm gonna have to do this real quick here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right, John chapter 7, verse 30. Let's go to verse 37. Let's go John 7 and 37. When you get there, tell your neighbor, all things are possible. All right, John 7, 37. Okay, it says, on that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said, cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So the very first thing is, you gotta be thirsty. You gotta be thirsty. You gotta want to be filled. Now, when you drink, if there's more there than what you're able to contain, then you will be filled. So if I have a 6-ounce bottle, I can drink that in one little loop. So I go to 7-Eleven, I buy a 32-ounce. I can drink it. I buy a 2-liter bottle. I can struggle with it. But if I buy a gallon container and I try to drink it, I'm gonna hit the saturation point because there's more out there than there's room in here. So if I continue to pour even after I'm filled, then what happens is I overflow. And so the whole reality is that be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The Lord is telling us be filled with His Spirit. Why? So that you can get to the point of not just containing the Holy Spirit, but to overflow the Holy Spirit. And that takes us back to this next verse here. He who believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will pour, will flow rivers of living water. But it never happens to me. Come here, you're not full. We got to get full in order to overflow. Out of our heart cannot come rivers of living water unless we're full. You have to be filled in order to let it flow out of you. And the Holy Spirit is already committed to indwelling you. He's already committed to being in there, but we have to stir it up so that it comes forth. It will come out accidentally every now and then. Like I said, without even thinking, I'm minding my own business and I can just speak a word of knowledge. How? Because it's in there. You know, if you're holding a glass and you trip, some will pour out. But if you want a continual flow, then we have to be filled. We have to be filled and learn how to flow. Let's go back to Ezekiel 47. Bring up verse 1 again. Ezekiel 37, 47, I'm sorry, Ezekiel 47. Are y'all with me? Ezekiel 47, he brought me back to the door of the temple. What is a door? A door is where things come in or come out, right? So he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold. What is a threshold? Threshold is what's designed to retain things inside or outside of something. So a modern threshold is a little lip that goes over your door, right? That's the threshold. But why is it that we're supposed to carry somebody over the threshold when you get married? Because old thresholds were not just little step overs like that. It was a threshold that you had to step over. It was a bigger item. It wasn't just a little lip on the bottom of the door. It was a thing to keep critters from coming in and coming out. So you're supposed to carry somebody over because you have to step over the threshold. So a threshold is not just a little thing. So if there's water coming out of the temple pouring over the threshold or going under the threshold, it's because there's so much water inside the temple, it's starting to pour out. See, we get filled with the Holy Spirit, but we have to stir up. We have to let God get into us in such a way that it starts to come out of us. It starts to pour out, because that's the only way for God to begin doing miracles in our midst. The only way God starts to do miracles in our midst is if the Holy Spirit is allowed to fill us in such a way that he pours out. Luke, let's go to Luke chapter 4 real quick. We're going to close with two scriptures here. Luke chapter 4. See, the acknowledgement that you're the container of God means that when you recognize that you contain God, you should expect to overflow. So we have to have that expectation that we're going to overflow, that we're going to go to the Word enough that we're going to overflow, that we're going to worship God enough that we begin to overflow. Because if you don't expect it, you're not going to do it. Look at this. Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned in the Spirit. Let's go to Luke 4, 18 and 19. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is where? Upon me. So this is before Jesus has gone to the cross. So he said, the Spirit is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now remember what we were just reading about the Holy Spirit, that Jesus said, he will take of what's mine, and he will declare to you. See, he's taking of the Spirit and he's giving you the power, the anointing to rest upon you, the anointing to be in you, not just to dance or to sing, but the anointing to come and break yokes, to preach gospel to poor. To not say, oh, unfortunately, you're poor. Let me hand you a pork chop and then you'll be okay. No, to preach good news to the poor. What does that mean? To declare their independence. Not just to feed you today. That's wonderful to feed the poor. But let's declare the good news to the poor. That God desires to give you abundance. That God wants to break the chains of poverty from your life. God wants to break the chains of your mentality. God wants to break the chains of your history. God wants to give you a hope and a future. He wants to do something new in your life. And here's the good news to bring it forth. Let me get you full of water so that you can have the Spirit in you, so that you can produce life in your environment. Let me give you this Holy Spirit. Let me lay hands on you that you might receive the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God would be upon you and you would have an anointing to do. Not an anointing to dance, not an anointing to shout, an anointing to do the will of God, to do the work of God, to be free. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to be able to go to the brokenhearted and say, behold, God is doing a new thing. Behold, forget the old things. Yes, your heart is broke. Yes, you had this bad situation. Yes, you're living through hell. But guess what? God's doing a new thing. That God's given me an anointing to come to people and tell them God has a new thing for you. God does not design you to live in problems, to dwell in bitterness, to dwell in anger, to dwell in hurt. God has not called us for that. And he's given me an anointing to tell people that. But I have to know that, and I have to be filled with the Spirit so that I'm bold enough, so that it pours out of me. It's not my, I'm worried about whether I am. Your threshold ain't, you ain't got over the threshold yet. Fear will cause you to drain rather than overflow. To proclaim liberty to the captives. You can be free. But you don't know what I'm bound in. I don't care what you're bound in. One of my friends was addicted to crack. And I would see him, and he would see me and run. Because he didn't want to talk to me. And I would, everywhere, whenever I would see him, I would chase him down. Stop following me. And he thanks me for this day because I wasn't scared of crack. I wasn't scared to say, you know what? God can deliver you from crack. Because I wasn't worried about whether God can. I know God can deliver him from crack. I'm an anointing to tell you, I'm not going to deliver you. I'm anointed to tell you to proclaim liberty. What if it doesn't work? It will work. But we're anointed for that. We've been given the power to say it, to declare it. Nothing happens. One of the songs we sing, nothing happens unless something's spoken. Somebody's got to say it. That's why God has prophets in the Old Testament, in order to say something, to give people direction, to tell them what to say or what to do. But in the New Testament, he doesn't only have to have prophets because he's got believers to declare. Recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, people living under oppression. You don't have to live oppressed. There are so many. Somebody gave me, who gave me this? Was it you? A statistic about domestic violence. Domestic violence is a form of oppression. It says here, we have power to set at liberty those who are oppressed. We said, well, there's not oppression here. There's oppression here. There's oppression here. There are people who go to work every day in not just bad places to work, but working for oppressive people. Oppressive people who are grinding people. But God says, I'm giving you liberty to set them free. I'm giving you liberty and power to set them free. So the talk about Holy Spirit and anointing, that's all cool. But it all gets down to where the rubber meets the road. And where the rubber meets the road is Jesus saying, hey, I'm giving you. The Holy Spirit is going to take what was mine, my call, the Spirit of the Lord that was upon him. I'm going to take what was mine. The Holy Spirit will take it and he will declare it to you. He will declare it to me. He will declare it to us. He will declare it to the church of Jesus Christ that we are here not to have church, but to break the power of the devil in the earth. We're not here to have a good time. We will have a good time. We are here to be activated to take truth into every environment, to take it to every place we can take it, to take it to streets, take it to boardrooms, take it to hospitals, take it to schools, take it to wherever God will take us. Why? Because that's the calling that we have. We have the calling not to just watch the world go to hell. We have the calling to take the world to heaven. We are anointed to take the world. Last thing I'll say. The key is we have to be mindful that God lives in us. We have to be mindful that God lives in us. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me will bear fruit. He said, if you're in me, you're going to bear fruit. You're going to bear fruit. You have no choice in the matter. You're going to bear fruit. And like I said, you walk into a room, you are the light. You're going to light the room up, whether you know it or not, whether you understand it or not. You're going to bring the light. So now that you know that you're the light, be deliberate and walk out with the mission of bringing the light. I'm going in here to shine. I'm walking in this place to shine. I'm walking in this place to do something. Yesterday, we were at the men's network meeting. And we were sitting at the table just eating ribs. sorry, ladies, but we was at the table just eating ribs. We're just sitting there. We weren't talking about nothing special, or we weren't doing anything special. We're just sitting there eating ribs. And somebody invited a brother, and the brother walked in. We're sitting in the backyard. Brother walks in the backyard. Nobody did anything particularly special than we don't always do. We all greeted each other, sat down. A couple minutes, the brother just starts telling his whole life story. He told where he was from. He told this. He just starts talking. He's just talking. He's just having a good time. We're all just having a good time. Eventually, something happened. And none of us tried to make it happen. But we were all there with our rivers flowing. And we weren't even moving around. We're just sitting there. But the rivers on the inside of us were all flowing. And the brother stood up. He started crying. And he started talking about, as soon as he walked in, he could feel something. I won't tell you what he said he felt, but he said he could feel something. Now, why? Because whether you understand it or not, you have an anointing on your life. And it doesn't require you to stand and preach to the whole world. It requires you to go into the world and know. And when the opportunities arise, teach people what God has taught you. That's it. That's all. So we didn't have a message yesterday. We had a little discussion, but we didn't have a message. We were praying for that brother, and another brother was visiting. He left, went somewhere. He said, "Man, I got to get back there." He caught a cab from where he was and came back. Why? Because the presence of the Lord was there. The presence of the Lord. And so we're looking for spectacular things. God said, I don't need spectacular. I'm God. I am spectacular. You just let me show up and I'll do it. Praise the Lord. We're talking about indwelling today. God living on the inside of us. Luke chapter 4 is that nail that says, I will be with you. I'll be here for you. And what I have, the Holy Spirit's going to declare it to you. So we saw Jesus fulfill this in his life. We need to expect to fulfill the same thing in our lives. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Father, we give you glory and honor. Thank you for your word today. Thank you that everyone in this place will see themselves.